You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, we've had quite an afternoon here celebrating 50 years of Title IX, and we end our guests, that is, with Ashley Woods. We've talked to Ashley many times in the past. She was the former editor of the Crimson and White. She's now the editor-in-chief of 1956 magazine at the University of Alabama. And Ashley, it has been too long. First of all, how are you and what's going on in your life? Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. We have spent the day talking about this momentous occasion, and I'm curious. You're by 30 years, well, maybe 20 years, the youngest guest we've had. So I'm particularly interested in you living in a different world than Tamika and Hannah Storm, who grew up in the 60s and 70s, and our first guest who played ball in the 60s and 70s. What does this mean to you, the celebration? And I think we'd all be interested in what you have to say.
Yeah, so I was born a little bit after Title IX was first enacted, but I think my life, especially being a woman in sports, would be a whole heck of a lot different if it didn't exist. And I am just grateful for the women that came before me that made it possible for us to have a place in sports. And I'm just excited to be a part of the new wave of women that are continuing the charge to have a better future and create more opportunities for women in sports.
And I think I would like to ask you about, because there are so many things different today, but just having been the editor of a newspaper, a big sports fan, obviously. How would you juxtapose this moment in time, especially in terms of what's left? Because nobody ever wants to say, I'm satisfied with where we are. People, you know, innovators, creative people are always pushing the rock uphill. Where do you think we need to go from here?
I think from here, we need to just continue to create opportunities and space for women. We've done a great job so far, but there are still areas of inequality between men's sports and women's sports that needs to be fixed. And I just think right now it's a great stepping stone, 50 years of Title IX, when it could have been easily 50 more years of fighting for women to get a place in sports. So I think we've done a good job so far right now, but I think there's still a whole heck of a lot more to be done to create true equality and equity throughout sports.
Ashley, as the editor of the campus newspaper, a campus we all know what the dominant sports is. But how did you go about trying to maintain a balance to your readers, who are students primarily, interested in all things?
Yeah, so that was kind of one of my goals when I first got hired as sports editor, even when I was assistant sports editor back in the beginning part of 2021. I wanted to create a space for where every student could see themselves in the paper and see themselves in the sport. Not everyone likes football at the University of Alabama. I know it's kind of crazy. Not everyone likes men's basketball, but there are people that like women's basketball. There's people that like softball. They deserve the coverage that the other sports may get, and I just made that a mission and part of my own, just having that passion kind of to create to equal the playing field of like how we cover sports at the university, because we have a unique, as student journalists, we have a unique opportunity that we're connected on campus because we live, we go to class, some of us work on campus outside of this, so we have a lot of ins and outs, so we know what the students want, and we kind of bring that and try to make our coverage as equal as possible. And I know for a fact that, like, there were people that were interested in women's basketball when I started covering it back in 2020, and I knew that was a sore spot for the CW. and just women's sports in general, that was kind of a sore spot. And I just wanted to make it known that I want to increase our coverage of not only women's sports, but other sports on campus. And I think I did a pretty good job of that, or my team did a pretty good job of that. I wouldn't have been able to do it by myself. I had a really good team of writers that understood my vision and helped me kind of put that into fruition.
You know, Ashley, it is dramatically different than it was, because I'm many, many years ahead of you, and even in my own college sports days, you did it, but there was no enthusiasm for it because of the times. I'm sure there is always resistance, but it doesn't sound like you found much. It sounds like people listened to you and wanted to enact the coverage that was necessary and equitable, as opposed to we're just doing this to do it.
Well, not everybody listens. I'm loud enough to where I can drown them out. so I just kept pushing. There were a lot of resistance, not mainly from the people that I worked with, but kind of fans of Alabama sports questioning why we even cared about it. And I'm like, listen, it's a sport at the university. I am the sports editor, and it's my responsibility to cover the sport as I would do football, as I would do men's basketball, as I would do baseball. You know, this is a sport that deserves to get covered. I don't care if they lost four games in a row. We will cover Alabama when we cover Alabama football if they lost four games in a row. So they deserve the coverage. And I just kind of, you know, the resistance that I got just made me want to cover the sport even more, because I knew, like, those people at the top that were screaming, like, don't do this. Like, why do we care? Why should we care? Why are you talking about Alabama women's basketball? There are people out there that genuinely cared and genuinely were interested in what we were doing. And that is more important than what anybody can say on social media about not doing this at all.
Ashley, I mentioned your position with the 1956 magazine. Having lived in Alabama, I'm pretty sure I know exactly what that symbolizes. But to those who don't, can you explain the purpose of the magazine to all of us?
Yeah, for sure. So 1956 magazine started in 2020 by Tiana Tate. She has graduated. She was the editor-in-chief before me. Her vision for the magazine came during the protests, the Black Lives Matter protests, and she wanted to create a space for Black students at the university to, you know, have a voice and share some experiences in their lifestyle on campus. And that's kind of what the magazine is dedicated to, Black lifestyle and culture at UA, but also across the country. In 1956 is the year that Austin and Lucy Foster first integrated the university, so that's why it's called 1956. I've been working with them since the start of the magazine. I started as a contributor, as a writer, and then I moved up to features and experiences editor last year, and now I'm in charge now. So it's been a great time. It's been really fun to work with them, because I get to write stories that I don't typically write with the CW, and I've just been grateful to get this opportunity to continue this project into the future.
Well, Ashley, we continue from a distance, I might add, to be very proud of your success. It's always great to interact, and we will be on campus not too far away, and we certainly hope to see you. Thanks for making time, and come back always. We look forward to it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ashley joining us from Tuscaloosa, and we will take a short break. We have plenty of time for you to get in at 855-242-7285.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. I appreciate all of you being here. More of your phone calls right now. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, you looking good, sounding good. Sorry I ain't called you the last couple of weeks or so, but this past Saturday I got robbed at the gas station. And I was traumatized so much by it that I just went home. About 2 hours later, the police come knocking on my door. I said, what's wrong? He said, you in trouble. Said, the guy at the gas station gave us your driver's license. You drove off and didn't pay him. I said, I know. I was wrong. So Wednesday, I had to go down to the magistrate's office. And I told the magistrate what happened. I said, I fill up my truck, $125. I said, that's robbery, Your Honor. He said, sir, that ain't how it works. I'm sorry, but I'm going to fine you $25. So I paid my $25, and on my way out to court, I just thought to myself, I got $100 worth of free gas. Hallelujah.
Well said. Handsome Joe is up next. Good afternoon, Handsome.
Roll Tide Road, Paul Feinbaum.
Hey there.
And you know what? You know what, Paul? There's a couple of things I want to mention. I heard somebody call in earlier and said something about me and you doing a show.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they mentioned that nursing homes or what, but just so you know, they do still sell Geritol.
Okay, I didn't know that.
They do.
Now, Geritol is supposed to, what, give you, it's for people that are low on energy, is that right?
Yeah, but I've actually talked to a few people, and they said if you take a shot of what they got now, the liquid, in like 15 minutes, you're ready to run laps. And, okay. And Paul, you'll probably remember this. They used to be the sponsor of the Lawrence Welk Show.
Oh, okay. I do remember that. Well, I really don't. But
and anyway. I still watch the Lawrence Welk Show.
Lawrence
I mean,
Welk.
That's one of my favorite shows. I watch that every Saturday. It's still on
every time we used to go to my in-laws, they had that on Saturday night.
Right, right. They still have it on here on Saturday nights. I mean, I know it's replays, but I was young then when they had them on, and now I really enjoy the show. But I remember my mom playing those, you know, when I was young, and it would come on Saturday nights, and she would have that on. And now I'm in love with the show. I mean, I love it. But I also want to talk about the AC, you know, this chicken butt loving goat smoocher up in New Jersey.
Yes, sir.
You know, he keeps, you know, I'm like, man, I tried to ignore the idiot, but he just keeps coming on. And maybe we just all need to come up here. And I mean, everybody he's calling now. And just say, AC, you don't want to get in this ring right here. You don't. Because he's trying to poke real men. And this, I'm going to call him a kid. And I'll go even further than that. What our man said, I think he wears his grandma's panties over his head for a hairnet. I mean, his brain is so twisted that I don't even think he knows he may not even be in New Jersey. Well, he's in New Jersey. You can tell by his voice. But, Paul, he's so out of touch. And I don't know what kind of name he's trying to make for himself, but I got a feeling he sounds like he's a wrestler, the way he talks.
He's really into WWE.
I seen a friend of mine posted something this morning about Randy Savage, and that's kind of what AC reminds me of. So I think he may actually be some type of wrestler, or wrestler wannabe. But, you know, there's a time you got to grow up from that. I mean, because it's really fake fighting. I mean, it's entertaining if you're a kid, but it's fake fighting. And that's all he is fake fighting over the phone, trying to poke real, you know, real men. Just because, like our man said, he wants a seat at the table. And hey, there is no available table at the seat, AC. So best thing you can do is shut your mouth. And go crawl in a closet in a fetal position and suck your thumb and then call yourself on your little toy phone. That's all I got, Paul. Roll Tide, brother.
Thank you very much. We got some breaking news from Omaha. Ole Miss knocks off Arkansas. They couldn't do it last night in the bottom of the ninth, but they did it today, a shutout. And Ole Miss now moves on to take on Oklahoma, a rather surprising final when you looked at all the experts 3 weeks ago what they had in there. The top seeds are gone, but Ole Miss moves on. Can it be 2 years in a row for the Magnolia State winning the College World Series? Remember, last year it was Mississippi State. That begins on Saturday in Omaha. Let's get back to the calls and check in with William, who is in South Carolina. Hello, William.
Ole Miss.
William, you there?
Yes.
Well, good. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Yes, I just, a couple of questions, or one question, really. I'm a huge Clemson fan, and I know that you said that Dabo was old news and everything.
Just yesterday's news.
According to yesterday's news, according to NIL and how coaches view that and the portal, who would you consider the top two, three coaches? I know Harbaugh in Michigan, he doesn't think much of the NIL. Who would you rate as the top one, two, three coaches anti-NIL?
Well, I would say Harbaugh, Dabo. I'm trying to think of maybe Shaw at Stanford. I think you would primarily find them at schools that just simply have a different approach. I haven't really heard that many coaches. I talked to the BC coach a couple of months ago. He's a really good coach, and he didn't like it either. He just flat out told me it was just blatant cheating. So I think principled coaches are going to be against it. But whether you're against it or not, can you survive without dealing with it? Is my question.
Absolutely. I'm not real sure if we can or not.
Well, William, I think Clemson is having a good recruiting year right now, but I also don't put a lot of stock in rankings in June. Clemson has gotten some good players, and Dabo, because Dabo is a phenomenal recruiter. But I worry a little bit in terms of the absolute primo athletes. And anybody nobody thinks that Arch Manning chose Texas primarily because of NIL. He's big enough name that he could get NIL deals anywhere, but it is interesting that Texas is one of the schools that probably is in the upper echelon of NIL right now. Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call. Michael in North Carolina. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Paul. You alluded earlier in the show to Bear Bryant and the multiple times you had the privilege of interviewing him. And
yes.
I had a picture of him that hung in my house for a long time because I felt that he taught many of us moral lessons in life, and one of them was how to win. And I remember him saying that he expected his players, when they scored a touchdown, to get to the end zone and act like they'd been there before.
Yeah.
And but I thought it'd be great to have you elaborate on some of the lessons or some of the things that he might have said to you that caused you to have a deeper understanding of things.
Well, Michael, I'll answer that. So just for some point of context, to show you how different the world was, Coach Bryant was a voracious newspaper reader, as a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Remember, he was 68, 69 years old at the time I became acquainted with him, probably 67. He happened to have gotten our newspaper every day, so he was well familiar with it. So somebody before me, I don't know who it was, went to both coaches in Alabama, and they both agreed to a Q&A sometime Monday for the Tuesday edition. So I had to call him every Monday, and he was always around. I mean, this wasn't somebody you needed a court order to get him on the phone. You called. And you tried to call at the same time, and he would eat his lunch at his desk, and I would call then. And but trying to get something out of him was the challenge. I would always ask him. Alabama had a couple of star running backs at the time. One was named Lenny Patrick. The other one was Major Ogilvie. And at one time, Major, who was just an outstanding running back. He got like five carries in the game. So I said, well, coach, Major Ogilvy only had the ball, got the ball five times. And you know what his response was? He said the same thing every time, and it was hard not to laugh. He's just trying to win the football game. That was his that's all he said. And you know, you could ask that question 1,000 times, but there was a lesson there. He didn't care about the guy's stats. He cared about winning the football game.
Yeah. It sounds like Bill Belichick today.
Yeah. But he I will say that the best interview over those two or three years that I did it came surprisingly after a loss, never happened, by the way, maybe once or twice. And it took a while to get him on the phone. I finally got him. He had a guy named Billy Varner who was his body guy, meaning he drove him around. He made sure he got wherever. So I finally called Billy. I said, Billy, it's 5:00. He said, hold on, I'll get him. And he came on, and he had the clearest voice I had ever heard. Usually you would say, coach, good afternoon. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was like he was gargling. This time he sounded like a Metropolitan Opera singer. He just hit the dulcet tones. And I think, you know, he was just sharper because that happened. He was so used to winning, and he was so used to saying, well, one time I tried to get a really sneaky question in. I've alluded to this before. I think they were ahead of Vanderbilt. I think it was 39-0, and they scored on the next to the last play of the game, and I think the spread was 43 points. And the rumor was that Coach Bryant liked to win a little money for his buddies. And that, by the way, that was a smart move to keep friends. And I didn't say flat out, Coach, everybody knows what the spread was. I said, it's really interesting, and you know where I'm going here. I said, you guys scored at the end of the game. A lot of teams would have taken a knee. He said, just trying to win the football game.
Well, Paul, you've had a great career, and I know Coach Bryant was a big part of it. And,
he sure was.
Appreciate your comments today,
Thank
sir.
You. No, it's. The memories of those rare two or three years have literally lasted for 40 years. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We'll take a short break, and we're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. We still have plenty of time, and let's get to the calls. And Legend is up next.
What's going on, Black Hat brother?
Legend.
Man, good to talk to you, man. Good to talk to you. I've been listening. You've been bringing some serious smack. You've been representing the Black Hat Mafia. I'm proud of you, brother.
Well,
proud of you. Woo! Let me get a woo from you.
Woo!
There you go. I heard the large one talking the other day about a cage ride. I like it large, and I like it. Hey, Paul, just calling today, man. I didn't really have a whole lot, but I just wanted to take a second and thank you and your staff for nominating me for the Ring of Honor. I consider it a true honor to be associated with your show, to be a part of your show. And I was thinking the other day, damn, if Paul ever retires, Legend's messed up. I ain't got nowhere to go.
A legend. I will consider that seriously in any future decisions.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I didn't want you to know, man. The show has never been better. So many great new callers on the show. And it was just an honor. I love you and the staff. The staff does such a great job. As I've told you privately, man, you built this dynasty. I just happen to be one of your high quarterback number one draft picks along the way.
Are you ever?
But you built this dynasty, brother. You deserve all the accolades, and don't even take a second to listen to the haters that talk about the show ain't what it used to be. Hell, we nationwide now. We got idiots in Jersey, idiots in Ohio, idiots in California. Woo! We like ZZ Top, baby. We know we're nationwide with this thing, man. Be proud. And when them haters stand up, man, just allow your middle finger to get an erection and let it go.
Woo!
Woo! Give them that erection, Paul. Give them that erection, baby. I want to say this right quick, too. Texas, finally, you have stood up. And I'm so proud of you. Because let me tell you something, Texas. You are the only school in that state who has the tradition and the know-how to come into the SEC and be a powerhouse. And today, when Arch Manning committed to you, you pimp-slapped Texas A&M and let them know that they've never been nothing, they never will be nothing, and if any team comes out of the state of Texas and begins to do any kind of dominance in the SEC, it damn sure won't be Texas A&M, but it'll be the real school in the state of Texas. Woo! The Texas Longhorns, baby. That's the damn truth, and everybody in Texas knows it, that A&M ain't nothing but another Auburn without championships. That's all you are, is a nasty little stepbrother with pimples all over your face trying to buy your way into an SMU championship. Well, the day Big Brother stood up and slapped your ass and reminded you that the Longhorns run that state, baby, and that's the way it will always be, just like Alabama runs the state of Alabama and the nation, baby. Love you, Paul. Keep on rocking, baby. And remember, when the haters say you ain't as great, just let that middle finger get that erection, baby.
Legend. Epic. Let's check out Mark, who is up next in Knoxville. Hello, Mark.
Paul, I'm laughing until I can't get back in my chair. Did Handsome Joe said he liked the Lawrence Welk show?
He says he watches the replays. I'm assuming it still runs, but
can you imagine Lawrence Welk coming out on stage? And I used to watch it when I was a little kid because my parents did and I didn't have a choice. But he'll come out and say, a one, a two, a three, let's all dance.
Right.
Can you imagine him standing up in a baby blue tux with the fringe collar and the big bow tie and going up and sounding like Ernest T. Bass and said, would you like to dance? May I have this dance? May I have this dance?
That's great.
That's all I got today.
Hey, thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate the call. Let's continue. Austin is in Arkansas. Hello, Austin.
Yes, Paul. I was just wanting to know what you thought of the Razorback baseball season this year. And another question, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the upcoming football season for the Hawks.
Well, Austin, I thought they had a remarkable baseball season. There were a lot of ups and downs, and at the end they were playing as well as anybody in the country. Unfortunately, they ran into a team that was hotter than they were in Ole Miss, which I think is, if they pull this off, is one of the greatest riches to riches story in the history of the sport. As far as the Razorbacks in football, the only thing I don't like is the schedule. Pittman said that a couple weeks ago when he joined us, but I think they're going to be better than next year, than last year. I think KJ is a really good quarterback. They have a lot more compliments. It's just a matter of surviving the gauntlet of Cincinnati and A&M, Alabama, road games at State, BYU, Auburn, Liberty in a game that is in a weird spot right before LSU and then obviously the finish to the season. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's check out Jeff, who is in Pensacola. Hello, Jeff. Jeff, you there? Jeff did not make it. How about Shay up next? Good afternoon, Shay. Chez, I'm sorry. Chez.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? First time caller here. I got a question about the Florida Gators.
Shoot.
So, what does Anthony Richardson stack up against the other SEC QBs with similar play style like KJ Jefferson and Bryce Young?
I think he will be in the conversation before it's all over. We didn't see a lot of him, but what we saw of him was enough to whet our appetite, I think, with some better players around him. He's in that group. Now, obviously, he's not in Bryce Young's group from an experience standpoint. Yeah. But
him being 100% will, make his stock go a little bit higher?
No doubt. A lot of what I'm saying is based on what I heard last year, but – off the air, coaches, experts just were raving about him before he got hurt. I mean, they really felt like, everybody talks about Mullen, but that injury may have really helped to do Dan Mullen. And, hey, thank you very much for your call. Let's check in with John, who is up next. Hey, John.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
We are well. Thank you.
Paul. You know, I've been listening for a long, long time, but in the last few months, I've heard all of these people that either were at a ball, either were tailgating at a ball game or whatever, and they all had one thing in common, and they said that they all appreciated you taking time with their family, their sons, their daughters, and I want to applaud you for that. And let me tell you about a little experience real quick.
Of course.
When I had the sports show in Huntsville, Alabama, I got to talk to a lot of people, Reese Davis, just numerous coaches, and I did about 30. I talked with about 30 play-by-play announcers from all across the country. And a friend of mine gave me the number to this play-by-play announcer. And I made the phone call. And I introduced myself. And his first words out of his mouth was, "Listen, I'm real busy. And I ain't got time to do interviews with every rinky-dink radio station in Alabama." And Paul, to this day, I have never forgotten it, and I have never listened to the man again. I used to listen to him and turn the radio on and watch it on TV. But, you know, I've never met you, but to be honest with you, Paul, I'm not a crybaby, but it broke my heart. It really did, to have somebody treat you like that and you not even really know him or he not know you. And you know who I'm talking about, too. And I'm not going to say his name, but that just tore me all to pieces, and to this day I won't listen to it on the radio. But I want to applaud you and how humble you are to your listeners, whether it's in person or on the radio, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Paul, for listening, and
thank you.
You're still the greatest.
It's so nice of you to call, and I'm sorry you had that experience, but you take care of yourself, and let's talk soon. We're heading to a break. A few minutes remaining here on a Thursday afternoon.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Right after us, Catch 98, the story of one of the great seasons in college basketball history, featuring Tamika and, of course, Pat's Summit. Back to the calls we go, and Phil is in Georgia. Hey, Phil.
Coach Feinbaum, I hope today finds everything going well in your world.
It has been great. Thank you.
First of all, Coach, I'd like to congratulate Legend on his Ring of Honor nomination. He's sure been a pivotal part of this program. And I'm going to tell you what, I was in the other room and I heard him call in a few minutes ago and it got my blood boiling. I ran out the house, ran down the street, power drive, two old women in the road. It just got me going like that. But the thing before that, it had me riled up. I understand about the Title IX issues. I understand about affirmative action. I understand about all the issues going on in today's society. But everywhere I go, Coach Feinbaum, it's one thing that I keep hearing mumblings about and rumblings about, and everybody down here in the South is wanting to know, what in the world is AC from New Jersey talking about? What is he talking about? What is he talking about?
It's not only what he's talking about, it's what type of weed is he smoking?
And so here's the plan, AC, and I know you're listening now, brother. I've already talked with Legend. I'm sending you a two-seater go-kart. When you get it, I want you to swing by Ohio and pick up Jeff. I want you to mosey on down this way. Me and Legend are going to take you on a trip down PKC Avenue, baby. What is PKC Avenue? That's Pop Knot City, baby. Well, we're going to give you the triple T. What is the triple T? That means tap that tater until you can act like folks. All right, baby. The large one. I'm out.
That is fantastic. Phil, thank you. Phil is becoming – is it too late to get Phil in the Ring of Honor? He's making a last-second run. Squirrel, you're out. Just kidding. Chris is in Texas. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, Paul? I was just calling to answer Legend's call earlier. I don't think Legend has a full point of view. He's calling us the Auburn of Texas. If you go back, first of all, A&M, you know, you probably know A&M was a military school primarily until the late 60s. And it soon became a co-ed school in the 70s. And then in the 80s, it truly became like a 50-50 co-ed school. And that's about the time Jackie Sherrill arrived on the scene. And if you do the head-to-head between the Aggies and the Longhorns, the Longhorns have nothing on us as far as head-to-head in football in particular. And you know, I'm not even going to bring up the College World Series where we just put them down. I'm not going to do that. But Legend's off base. He's poking the hornet's nest, and he just needs to hear that from an Aggie. That's all I've got as far as that goes.
Gig'em. Thank you, Chris. Good to have you on. Nick is up next. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Paul. So obviously Legend hit a nerve with the little brothers that exist over in Texas. And I wanted to talk about this, Paul. Like, clearly the Texas schools with NIL have been doing well relatively quickly. Now what's going to happen is they're going to have to face the expectations of winning. When Alabama can go and pluck a guy out of that school 1 or 2 years down the road when they haven't achieved what they thought they would. And I want to ask you, between Dumbo Fisher and Sarkoholic, which one of those fools are going to be bounced first?
Well, I think Steve Sarkisian today.
Besides the buyout, Paul, I know, you know, Dumbo's buyout's really big.
Yeah,
but besides
Sark bought himself at least a year past this year. And what I mean by that is if he had had a terrible season this year without Arch Manning, I don't think he would have made it. Jimbo Fisher's in a completely different – it would have to really come apart. And I don't think the buyout's an issue. I know everybody in the media wants to trumpet that as – Aggie, if that program is falling apart with all the investment, what's another $60 or $70 or $80 million?
Paul, you've seen A&M's schedule this year. I asked you this, I think, earlier in the week, if you thought they would lose more than three games. I look at that schedule – and it's going to be a rough year for A&M, Paul. I think they lose three in the West.
Well, I tell you, and they've already built up the – well, I maintain in your fifth year, there are no excuses. It's a great topic to continue tomorrow. We're out of time. Enjoy the special after us, and we will see the rest of you later.